So turning for our scripture reading once again to Isaiah chapter 9 and the seven verses there. The most beautiful prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus. We're giving attention to the names by which he would be called. Beginning at verse 1, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You've multiplied the nation, you've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And as I said, we'll be looking especially at him being called Everlasting Father today. Unto us child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. One of the central things that we learn from these names is that Jesus is to be worshipped and trusted as Lord and God. That is the heart of the faith. The counsel is from Jesus, who is Wonder. Wonder is the Son of God incarnate. That is wonder. Calling him Almighty God obviously shows that Jesus is to be worshipped as Lord and God. Now that truth is also properly drawn from our focus today. Jesus is everlasting or eternal Father. Now we want to be careful with that. My wife was a little concerned that I was going to be really confusing today. I'll try not to be. But we do worship the Lord Jesus as Lord and God. Let's not be confused about that. As central or as important as this truth is, though, the beauty and the power of this passage is that in each case, there's something about his divinity that we are to see. Jesus is our divine counselor. His word is truth. He counsels us in the way of truth. He is the Almighty. Jesus is the Almighty. All powerful, all authority, give Jesus is. Here we are called to look upon Jesus, call upon Jesus, not only as eternal and everlasting, but as Father to us. Well, that's going to be our focus. We have a church today that is always talking of our personal relationship to God. Now that's good. If we live with him, pray to him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if we understand that with the words that we speak. But if your experience is like mine, we hear more today that sounds like, I just love you, God. I just want to serve you, God. I just want you to be near me, God. Do we even know Him as our Father? When you pray, and I'm asking it really seriously, and I want you to think about it seriously. When you pray, how often do you call upon the Lord God as your Father? And we can use many forms of address, and we do. I do too. But Father must function too in true faith. In so many words, Jesus Himself is revealed as a Father to us here. How often do you think of Jesus as a Father to you? It's an act of faith, and it's such a blessing to faith. I remember sitting at the deathbed of a man who had been in the church all his life. And he'd long been a hard man. Everybody that I talked to in the community knew him as a hard man. And he was 90-some when he was on his deathbed. But he had been changed. His ears were shot, so he couldn't hear me. But the important thing was that I could hear him. And I could see him hold out his hands to heaven. And he said, I'll use his own voice, not in my hands I go to the Father. I will never forget that moment. He taught me more in 2 seconds, maybe, than I've ever learned. I don't know. I want to begin by assuring you that we are not going to get all mixed up here and try to say that the second person of the Trinity is actually the first person of the Trinity. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. The Father did not die on the cross. He sent His only begotten Son, who was incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary, became God-man to us and Savior, died on the cross for us as Jesus. Our God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That never changes. But what the text does for us is point out that Jesus Himself, in His work on our behalf, is also a Father to us. He is so many things. He is our sacrifice. Raised from the dead, He is our friend. He is our brother. As I said, He is our counselor. He is our good shepherd. As a church, He is our husband. He is also a Father to us. And not just any Father. Everlasting, eternal, divine Father to us. He acts also as a Father to us in His work on our behalf. That's why we become like Him. We speak often of one another in the church as fathers and brothers. But generally, we reserve that to the leaders and so on, but actually, in certain ways, we all become such to each other. We know the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus gave us birth by His Word and Spirit. He is caring for our needs. He is preparing a house for us, a mansion, John 14. He is giving us a homeland, the fatherland, Hebrews 11. So that's what we're going to try to draw out and learn more and more to live out of. The Son given is our everlasting Father. I'm not going to get confused about what that means. We've all had earthly fathers. I want us to draw from that and see the importance of drawing from that. Secondly, we want to look at the fatherhood of God, the Father, and then know Jesus as everlasting Father. So first of all, trying to draw from some experience, I want to ask you a question. Do you know anything about God that you did not need an earthly comparison of to learn? God is eternal. I can't understand that even as it is, really. But the only way I can understand it a little bit is by comparing it to time, which I experience. God is powerful. I haven't got a clue what that means, except I know something about kings and something about ocean waves. And I've seen the results of a whirlwind that picked up a combine and nailed the top of an 80-foot silo and left a big dent. That's how I know something about power. A little bit by comparison. Wise. I know wisdom only by comparing it to wisdom that I have seen on occasion. Loving. I don't know anything about love, except I have experienced something of that, especially with my mom and dad. At least as a beginning. Judgment. How would we know what judgment is? How would we have any understanding of what judgment is if we did not know by experience what fire is, what darkness is, what suffering is? Does that sound strange? Well, it shouldn't. God created a world in which He could reveal Himself to us. God created the structures of the world, which also reveal Him to us. God is a God of order. He made a world of order. So we have some understanding of that. One of the structures in the world is the family. God has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one perfect, loving unity, one God. He created the world in such a way that we would be born into families, and by and within the family, knowing a Father, we would increasingly come to know Him. Family is used to reveal our relationship to God and also to one another in the church. This isn't too crass, but family is hell. If we are not living in love and unity and learning to forgive each other. That's how it's supposed to work in the church too. Parents, teach your children knowing the immense importance of what we're teaching them. We teach them at home how it ought to be here, how it ought to be in the kingdom of God with the authority of God on the shoulders of Jesus, our God. Family life is given to reveal something of God as Father to us by comparison. What are your memories, your early memories of your father, or your late memories of your father? My earliest memories, my father provided for us. Now we have to be a little bit careful here too, because this applies to us all. My mom did a ton of work. In some ways, she was like a father to us. When my father died, and the oldest of eight children was 12 years old, she was often a mother and a father to us. But while alive, my father was the provider. And that was how it's supposed to work. He protected us. Dog bit me in the face, he was right there. He told me, you shouldn't tease the dog. But you still know. My sister and I, we were 4 and 5, I think. We ran a couple of miles to town by ourselves. He left the fields. First thing you know, we see him coming down the street in the truck, looking for his kids. How he figured out we went there, I have no idea to this day. He disciplined us. My children have no reason to complain. He played with us. Now, that's interesting. Is that a God thing? What pleasure was there in it for my father to play with us? He just loved seeing us fall down laughing. We can learn about God from that too. He delighted in us. Now these things are all given by God to reveal Himself by analogy, by comparison. He's revealing Himself to us in all these things. Our fathers are far from perfect. I don't know what your memories of your fathers are. Mine are not all so wonderful. But what our fathers did or do well, or what they did or do poorly, they reveal our Father in heaven in some way. Were there times when provision seemed lacking? Were there times when protection was not there? Were there times when discipline was suspect, misjudged, misapplied? Not with God, our Father in heaven. Not with God over all. He does all things well. Hebrews 12, we read, "Our fathers disciplined us as they thought best, to the best of their understanding. But God disciplines us for our good." And so He took even the things lacking in our earthly fathers, He took those things and used them even for our good. That is the Father in heaven. Now what about if we had a really bad father, or if he died early or left us alone? By our experience in this world, we still know what a father should be. And we do not give in to the idea that if we had a bad father, we got to start calling God our mother. We're not going there. Because we're not supposed to. We don't have to. We ought to see the fatherhood of a good mother. And we ought to see the motherhood of a good father. But we come to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and even Jesus is a Father to us. And that's powerful. I want to take a quick look at the fatherhood of God in Scripture as it's revealed. And we must do that, because that is where we learn what a father ought to be, ultimately, using the experience we have here to see what it really ought to be. See what we see in Scripture. God wants us to know Him as our Heavenly Father. And if we live by the faith that He gives, this will be common in our faith and in our prayer. In the words that we use, we will grow into it. If you say, "Well, I believe and I pray, but I hardly ever call Him Father." Well, then I just say, repent. You ask me if I'm being serious? Yes, I am, totally. If we live by true faith, we will often see things in our lives that we need to repent of, that we need to change. And some of them are going to take a lot of effort, practice, thought, prayer, even counsel. That's what life in Christ is going to be like. That's part of it. God revealed Himself in our as our Father in Scripture, then let us live accordingly. And He has. There is no image of God, I think, more powerful and more common and more constant in the Scriptures than as our Father. And us as His children, us as His family. That is the warp and woof of the Scriptures. It's about our relationship to God and who He is and who we are. From day one, it is written in His Word until His Word was full in every way imaginable. He's been our Father from the beginning. If you read the genealogy of Jesus, you know, it's Christmas time, we often read the genealogies in the early part of the Gospels. Read the genealogy of Jesus in Luke. It's a little different than Matthew. Matthew goes back as far as Abraham. Do you know where Luke goes? Luke, I think, following the pathway of Mary, goes all the way back to Adam, who was who? The Son of God. From giving life to Adam and Eve, giving birth to Adam and Eve in creation itself, to providing food for them, to giving them the law, to providing a home, to promising forgiveness when they chose the devil as their father instead. We don't talk that way very often, do we? When we see Adam and Eve being tempted by Satan and following him, we don't think of them as choosing the devil as their father. We should. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are children of your father, the devil. You're doing his desires." God is our Father. He has given us life. He designs good for us. He desires that we become like Him, like to Jesus. And everything that He does for us is toward that end, providing, guarding, teaching, disciplining, arms open to receive us. It's all to make us more and more like Him and like Jesus. Parable of the Prodigal Son. Obviously, you can preach many sermons on that. I'm not going to do that. It's one of the most beloved parables for this reason, that it reveals God the Father so powerfully, God as Father so powerfully. We can learn so much about the temptations and the path of the prodigal son, the warnings against running off in the desires and pleasures of the world and forsaking the Father. Don't go there. The hope and call for the wayward. Come back. His arms are open. He's watching for you. We can learn so much. We must beware of the hard-heartedness of the elder son. Who is that? Well, you know, quite frankly, today it's you and me raised in the church. There's a danger of becoming self-righteous and judgmental and being like that older son. But you know what we're supposed to remember and linger on? The open arms of the Father to the prodigal when he saw him coming. And the pleading voice of the Father when he said, "Son, you're with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. It's fitting to celebrate. Look, come in." That's what we're supposed to remember. Our God is a Father to us and to our children with us. He was Father to Abraham and to his children. He was commanded to place the name of God upon his infant child and then to teach his children to love God. And that was an act of faith. The Father of all believers was commanded to place the name of God on his children and teach them to love God, our Father. Grow up in him, serve him. And then his children one day could say, like we read in Isaiah 63, that's 1400 years later, his children could say to God, "Even if Abraham does not know us, you are our Father." And there's hundreds of passages revealing God as Father. Us, men, women, children, as his sons, those who would inherit. Our children as his. We're called to believe. Children, if you're old enough to hear me, to be with us, children, if you are to know our God as your greater Father, fathers, you are to teach them to know our God as their greater Father. He loves you more. He's stronger and wiser. He's able to hold you in eternal life. He teaches you truth. He is tender to hug you. He rejoices in your laughter when you play with your friends, with your brothers and sisters, with your mom and dad. Your God rejoices in that. He delights in that. Knowing God as Father, we need not even fear death. I watched couple of the Lord of the Rings trilogy recently, and the thing that stood out for me this time was a battle was seeming to go badly, and it looked like they're all going to die, and one of the hobbits says to Gandalf, "So, this is the end." And Gandalf says, "End? No. Next comes White Shores." So powerful. In some ways, when the body dies, it is more like a new beginning. When we wait for the resurrection, we are no longer aliens, and we're looking forward to a fatherland. That's, by the way, most translations don't translate it that way. In Hebrews 11, I think it's 14, they're looking for a home of their own. That's what the NIV says, a home of their own. I mean, wow, what a bad translation. The word is fatherland. One last thing. We want to apply this to knowing Jesus somehow as everlasting Father and how that helps us. You know, the Word of God reveals Jesus as our friend. And a friend is a lot of wonderful things. But Jesus says, "You are no longer servants. You are my friend." A servant does not know his master's business. John 15:15. A servant does not know his master's business. We are his friends. We do. We're involved and willing, with understanding, purposefully, in the increase of his government. See, this is all in that context, right? The government will be on his shoulders. And as we know him in all these ways, we are willingly with him. We are his friends. We are with him. And the government is increasing, and it's not without us. It's through us. The Word of God reveals him as our brother. As brothers, we stand together. Yes, that includes the girls. Brothers go to war spiritually. As brothers, we serve the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his kingdom expands by the zeal of the Lord in us. The Word of God reveals Jesus as a husband. Some of the worship songs today need to be questioned on how they portray this. But he is a husband to us as a church. Loving, delighting, leading, guiding, encouraging, strengthening, self-sacrificing, tender, compassionate, firm, wise. You're all those things, right, guys? What was missing? God saying to Adam and Eve, or God saying to Adam, "I will make a helper fit for him," and then to the two of them, "Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the birds of the air, the beasts of the field." So to know Jesus as Father to us, an eternal Father to us, is important to us, important for his plan, his great salvation in the world. He is not the Father. Be clear. He is not the Father. God has not changed. But his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. And it helps us to know, helps us in faith to know that Jesus is our sacrifice and all these other things, but he is also a Father to us. Also in that light, he loves us. He gave us rebirth. He gave us a name. And he provides for us. And he feeds us. And not just earthly food, but heavenly food. He guards our lives. Hebrews 1:3, he sustains all things by his powerful word. Knowing Jesus as an everlasting Father to us is to encourage us in faith in every way. The disciples once asked Jesus, "Show us the Father." And he said, If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We know the Father through Jesus. We know that as we serve Him, we serve the Father. Jesus said when He was already 12 years old, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" We are to be brothers and fathers. So that is really, in certain ways, the payoff here. As we see Jesus as a Father to us, everlasting and eternal, so just in that way, in so many ways, like the Father, the eternal Father, as we see that, and we see we are called to be like Jesus, we are seeing that in the increase of His government in the world, which comes in through the church, which is revealed in the church, as we see this, we are called to be more and more fathers and brothers to each other. In the church, that is what we are called to be. As we come to know Him more, we come to be that more. We know our God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But our God is one. And at the same time as we know this, we hear Jesus saying, John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The one who lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me." And our minds and thoughts go properly right back to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Father Jesus, hold on to us. Father Jesus, lead us, guide us, and make us strong for your great kingdom. Amen.